Many of you know that I love summer camp. There's a ton of activities that I enjoy doing myself and working through with a group of students. Now, while zip lines and high ropes elements are big adventure, the real highlight for me is going through some of the low ropes activities with a group because of the need to think differently and outside the box and work as a team to accomplish a common goal. And there's this one activity that includes three trees and a couple of cables. And while the cables begin at the same point, they progressively get further and further away from one another, kind of creating like a V. And so working with a partner, the participants step onto the element, onto the cables, and try to walk across those cables as far as possible. And it becomes pretty evident pretty quickly that you have to lean on one another to make it down the line. There are a ton of variables to consider when you're working with your partner, and some of them seem kind of daunting. However, the reality is that all of those factors will lead to more success than just trying to walk the cable like a tightrope by yourself. And so this weekend, we are continuing with our series, Faith in an Anxious World, as we look at the importance of relationships in the ministry of Jesus and how our scripture can point us in the direction of how our relationships can support us through times of stress in this world to live a more abundant life. Now, we live in a relational world, and that's no secret that we're hardwired for connection and relationship. Even in the opening chapters of our Bible in Genesis, God sees that it's not good for us to be alone, and so a co-laborer is made. Part of being made in the image of God is being made for community. Just like the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, we are in community and relationship with one another and in relationship with God. And so, in theory, now, we could do life alone, but that would mean missing out on some of the best of what the world has to offer. Additionally, it would mean that the impact of our lives would be greatly diminished. Think about it. Jesus could have done his job on earth alone. He was God after all. But the impact and implications of his life, death, and resurrection are exponentially more powerful because he chose to be in relationship with others. And so let's take a look at the way that Jesus begins to grow his circle of relationships in our scripture today as he calls Peter to be a disciple. First thing is that we see that Jesus initiates relationship, and then he invests in that relationship. And finally, he allows there to be an invitation for a relationship to continue with Peter that shapes their future and support of one another. And so if we look at these three actions of Jesus to grow his circle, we see that growing the circle is not a numbers game. But it's all about building a support system so that we might have a mutually abundant life together in a world filled with anxiety and isolation. And so turning to our scripture, it opens as Jesus notices that there are boats on the shoreline, but nobody in them. And he initiates the relationship with Peter. Jesus isn't too proud to take the first steps in the relationship, and knowing that we need others on this journey isn't a sign of weakness. Jesus models that for us. But it's a realization that growing his circle will mean that he can weather the storms of life better with a group of trusted voices supporting him along the way. Friends, it's okay to take the first steps to connect with others and grow your circle. Adding a friend or a resource, a counselor, partner, or someone else to your circle as a trusted voice is a great thing. We celebrate that. And so for just a minute, think about the people who are in your circle of trusted voices right now. You can even put them in the chat if you want. And then think, is there someone that you need to take that initiation step into building a relationship with in this season? Once the initiation happens, once that initial step happens. The next thing that we see Jesus do is invest in the relationship with Peter in a way that speaks to the fishermen. Jesus shows him where his paycheck is swimming, okay? Peter, being a fisherman, he would have likely trusted Jesus just enough, this rabbi, just enough to see what he was saying because the day had already been a bust. Clearly, the boats were on the shore. They had been fishing all day. Nothing happened. And so why not try? And Jesus speaks in a way that is meaningful and relevant to Peter. On a day where it looks like Peter will gain nothing from hours of hard work with the nets, Jesus's investment means that Peter is having a day to remember. He's getting paid. Friends, learning how to speak the love language of the members of our circle is critical. The importance of making relational investment that is meaningful and relevant cannot be understated. If we only go to a relationship when we're in need, it's a transaction, not a relationship. So think about this. Think about this investment step kind of like a bank account for a minute. You may know someone in your life who's always making relational withdrawals, not investing anything back into your relational bank account, and this leads to relationship bankruptcy. When you see that person who just makes withdrawals call your phone or send a text message, your heart might begin to race, or you think, oh great, now what? Do you have those people? I know that for me, thinking about that relational bank account isn't a perfect analogy because people don't necessarily work like that, right? That's not the way we work. Nevertheless, I try to strive to build equity in my relationships because it means that my circle is healthier and that I don't feel awkward when I need an assist from my support system. I know that I can go to them and they will be there. Who do you need to invest in this week in a way that they will appreciate? So if we take stock of where we are so far, Jesus has initiated the relationship with Peter, and he invests in a way that is meaningful to the fishermen. And now here's the powerful part that I've missed up until this week. But Jesus invites Peter out of his isolation when he sees what Jesus has done. Peter's words, "Please leave. I'm not worthy." Never struck me before to be important, like they have this week. However, notice what Peter wanted to do. He wanted to isolate himself and withdraw from Jesus. Anybody else in that boat, right? But when isolation wins the day, connections break down. And so notice, Peter doesn't say, "Hey, Jesus, just give me a minute. I gotta get my head on straight." You know, there's a time and a place to pause and get our bearings in stressful and anxious situations. Jesus does this throughout Scripture. He takes time to pray by himself, but he doesn't isolate himself. And so Jesus's response is that he invites Peter into something more and pulls Peter out of this natural response of withdrawing, walling off the world into something bigger. Jesus does this again after the resurrection too. Peter isolates himself by denying Jesus 3 times and felt awful for it. He had failed. And the resurrected Jesus then draws Peter out of that isolation and reminds him to keep doing the work that he has been called to do. This snippet that I've missed serves as 2 reminders for us today. First, when you feel yourself isolating and pulling away, please tell someone in your circle so that you don't further isolate yourself and so that you know that you're not alone in it. And secondly, lean on them just as they're leaning on you. Secondly, connect with friends who may have isolated in this season and remind them that they're not alone in this either. Do you remember my challenge course example? When we lean on one another and we know that we can trust the other person and that they can trust us, we are all able to go further toward our goal. Peter's call story can tell us a lot about how we are able to build our relational support circle through initiating relationship, investing in meaningful ways, and inviting our circle members out of isolation into connection. And so here's what I would like you to do today. And if you want to send it to me or send me a text with what you're writing down, great. But today, write down one practical thing that you are going to do to grow or strengthen your circle. It could be asking someone to come into that circle. It could be investing in a relationship or checking in on a circle member that seems a little bit distant. All of these actions can lead to a stronger support system for us to live in a world of anxiety and makes this world look a little bit more like the kingdom of God that Jesus ushers in. Friends, let's have a word of prayer. Wonder-working God, so many times in so many ways, we are anxious to take the first step. But part of that good news is that you have already met us where we are. You speak life into us in meaningful and relevant ways, and you share with us that we don't need to isolate, that we don't need to do this alone. For your word has the last word. The worst thing is never the last thing. And so shame does not win the day. God, in this time, in this world of isolation and anxiety, we ask that you breathe your spirit fresh on us, that we might then be bold enough like Jesus to initiate, invest, and invite others into our circle so that we might be better together, leaning on one another to be the community that you have called us to be. God, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.